Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, it's gotten cold outside again, but it's good to be inside and recording with you today.
It's the shortest summer we've ever had. Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
They're even talking like snow flurries now.
Yeah, it's a little confusing right now, but it's a new day, new mercies, new opportunities, and we're thankful for it.
So last Sunday, you had the privilege of preaching, and you took us down a road. We're looking this month at the study of the church. We're looking at different aspects of what the New Testament teaches about the church. And your sermon is titled, "So What Denomination Are We?" Really, really encourage our listeners, if you haven't, to go back and listen to it. If you've already listened to it, if you were there Sunday, go back again. This is something that you just need to get and to understand. This is something that our times have just accepted. We've just concluded that there are a variety of churches, and that's okay. And the question is, it's not really okay, and we need to look at what the New Testament teaches. So when we read passages like Matthew 16, verse 18, when Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church," that word church has 1,000 different definitions for different people. "Well, I think you built my church. I think you built the church like I go to now." And all these different things. And when we look at the early disciples, particularly the apostles, it's very easy for us to think, well, this one started this church, this one started that church, and they all started their own brand of religion, we might think about. And that's a concept that is very disturbing because you don't read that New Testament. The apostles were one in faith. They were one. The Lord established his church, not our church. And so the idea of a denomination is something that really we don't hear talked about very much, but we really need to understand that and to understand what's behind these things. Now, as you explained so well in your lesson, really the idea of a denomination is a subunit of something much larger. If you go to the bank and you have a $100 bill and say, "I would like this broken down," the teller will say, "What denominations?" You may get 520s. You may get 250s. You may get 1010s. You may get 100 $1 bills. But what you will not get is $120. That won't happen because the denominations make up what the whole, the big is. And so that something larger necessitates an organization. It necessitates a headquarters, a list of rules, money flowing here, there, and everywhere, preachers moving here, there, and everywhere, and this big organizational structure. We see that in government. We see that in franchises. That's the concept of a denomination. When we look in the New Testament, that's missing.
Right.
And that's what made your lesson so powerful, is that the church we read about in the Bible is something that's unique and special. I shared with Jason a while ago that there's three beliefs every church has. Every church believes they're right. You're not going to find the preacher getting up Sunday morning and saying, "Brethren, we need to close the doors because we're wrong." That never happens. Never happens. Second thing all churches believe is that they're needed. This is why in little bitty towns, you'll see two church buildings right across the street from each other. Why are they right across the street from each other? Because they both feel like that they are needed. And then thirdly, they always feel like that they're friendly. "We are the friendliest church in town," they'll always tell you. So as we look back to this lesson, there are some things that bring some questions to our mind. So when we think about the denomination, what denomination are we, is the title of the lesson. We ask, first of all, why does it matter? As long as I love Jesus, why does it matter where I go?
Yeah. A couple of things come to mind, and I definitely appreciate the very kind words and even the opportunity just to continue thinking out loud about this, because as you've said, this is such a massive issue. And I think to ask, okay, well, why does this matter?
anyone who is thinking along those lines, I would really encourage you sometime today or this week, sit down and read the New Testament book of Ephesians. And I think it is hard to improve on just allowing that book to answer the question for you. Why does this matter? And just a couple of things to draw out of that. Of course, this is the Holy Spirit of God leading the Apostle Paul along and inspiring him to communicate to first century Christians. When you reach the end of, for instance, Ephesians chapter 1, and we are told that God the Father has put all things under the feet of His Son, Jesus the Christ, and given Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body. Why does this matter? Well, we're talking about something that does not belong to us. And any time we are dealing with something that doesn't belong to us, that ought to create within us a certain measure of care and concern. Every once in a while, we rent cars here and there. Roger, we don't do that as often as we did pre-COVID, it seems like, but I'm guessing lots of our listeners have done that before. And while I am careful with my car, certainly, I don't want it to be scuffed up and various things, but when I'm driving a rental car, I feel like I'm even more careful if I'm pulling around a drive-through or going through some sort of a toll booth or something like that. Why is that? Because I know in just a couple of days, I'm going to turn this in. It's going to be looked over very carefully. And if there are any scratches there, I'm going to have to answer for that because that's not my car. And if we could get that in our minds as far as the church is concerned, it's very easy for us, I think, in 21st century America, very consumeristic, very self-centered culture, to believe the church exists for me. But the church is not a fast food restaurant. It's not a recreational center. This is the body of Christ. This matters because it's not mine. The Son of God Himself is the head of this very special body.
And so, you know, we in our society today, our culture, we have a consumer type of mentality. The customer, we say, is always right. And if something's not right, the store, the restaurant, they have to make it right for you because the customer is always right. They serve us. Okay. That mentality trickles over to religion and we can have the same idea. The church is here to serve me. It's to make me happy. It's to do everything I want it to do. That thinking, again, is not found in the New Testament. What we find in those very early disciples is that the church honored Christ. God was first. And so as we begin kind of peeling off some of the layer here, we need to understand that we live in a culture of democracy, the will of the people. And, you know, if there's enough people that rally around one candidate, he's elected because that's the will of the people. It's not that way when we look at how the church is governed. The New Testament does not say it is a democracy. So if enough people in a congregation vote for this, that's the way it's going to be. We may change this. We may change that through the years. And the study of church history has shown almost every major religion has changed from what they used to believe to where they are today. And that's because they have a democracy type of concept. The New Testament is a theocracy. God rules. And so there's no voting. There's no deciding, well, you know, we don't like this, and this is what we really want. That doesn't work.
Yeah. And as beautiful as the picture that you get from something like Ephesians is, you can just as easily go, for instance, to Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and you can see that even 2,000 years ago, under the guidance of the apostles, people were naturally drifting in the wrong direction. And it is not that Paul says, well, okay, you've established a relationship with Jesus, and now that's all that matters. You know, just go on and do your thing. Again, very beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We looked at Ephesians 1 just a moment ago, but you listen to what's on the Apostle Paul's heart in verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's serious. He's appealing in the name of the head, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. He goes on to describe how it had been reported. There were some who were saying, well, I follow Paul and I follow Apollos and I follow Cephas and I follow Christ. And that wasn't cute in his mind. That wasn't just a minor wrinkle. He laments this fact and seeks to get them to understand you're on the wrong track. The body of Christ is not to be fragmented or denominated or broken down somehow along cultural lines or ethnic lines or whatever it is that you want to talk about. We are to be of the same mind, the same judgment. And the only way that is possible is if we listen to the head.
And so why does it matter? It matters because I need to be a part of something that's found in the Bible.
Yeah.
And as you illustrated several times in your lesson, that which is pure, that which is simple, and we would add the word that which is primitive.
Sure.
We need to be looking backwards, not forward. We're not trying to push the envelope of what we can try. We need to go back and follow the pattern that was before.
Well, and if I can just add one other thing there, just to what you've said. You know, we live in a culture, and I see it in my own children. I see it in children younger than them, where there is such emphasis on the new, such emphasis on the absolute current. You know, we can have something in our social media feeds that popped up over the weekend, and here it is on Wednesday, and it already feels like old news. Well, everybody's already seen that, been there, done that sort of thing. Things are coming at us so fast in this information age, and I think there is something not only beautiful, but absolutely necessary that we would communicate to our children what is, as you've said, primitive, what is old, what has stood the test of time is valuable. Don't be ashamed of looking backwards in those areas of life that matter the most.
And sometimes people immediately will get the mindset, well, we're talking about old, dry, dusty museums. We're talking about something so traditional, it's going to choke us. Something's just stale. And it's not that at all. Not at all. Fresh, alive, and moving. But it's following Jesus Christ. Right. That's the key we need to see. And there's something about that simplistic manner. And as you think about this organizationally, we see in the New Testament, as you mentioned, there were problems in Corinth. But that didn't necessarily affect Ephesians, because there were two separate congregations. And one could be losing their first love, as Ephesus did in the book of Revelation. One could be dead, like Sardis. One could still be pleasing the Lord, like Philadelphia was. And so, you know, when you're all tied together and you get some crooked ideas in there, it's going to affect the entire thing. But the Lord's wisdom, simple, pure, primitive, shows the value of independent congregations that just serving him as he wants us to be. Now, another thought that came to my mind from your great lesson is that if we're not part of a denomination, what does that mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and here is where I think we really need to be reminded that words carry meaning. You brought up earlier in a different way, earlier in this episode, that, you know, if we allow ourselves and the broader culture around us to define what church is, we have taken a giant step in the wrong direction. Words have meaning, and all around us, we could ask 100 different people in our community, what does church mean to you? And we would get so many different answers. We see that with a lot of words. What does fellowship mean to you? And we're going to get a wide variety of answers. What does worship mean to you? So on and so forth. But what really matters, if Jesus is the head, is what does he mean when he talks about the church and fellowship and worship? And so very important that every generation goes back and peels through those layers of human innovation and human history and ideas and philosophies and all of this, and just goes back to that pure, simple pattern. What this means is Jesus is my head. There is unity defined by the Spirit. You mentioned just a moment ago the idea of local oversight. Jesus is the chief shepherd, but all over the New Testament, we read about shepherds watching over the flock that was among them. And so, as you brought up, okay, there are some real issues in Corinth, and Corinth is on the verge of perhaps a very unhealthy situation, whereas at the same time, over here in Ephesus, there is a church, and it can be very healthy and God-glorifying. Well, how does that happen? Well, local oversight, right? And ultimately, it is looking toward the faith that has been once for all delivered to the saints. I'm there at the end of that sermon. I just walked through a few instances in 1 Corinthians where Paul emphasizes what I'm passing along to you, I didn't come up with. This is not my wisdom. This is not the wisdom of the age. This is the wisdom of God. But what's interesting is he's writing to the Corinthians and he says over and over and over again, listen, this is what I teach in every church. This is what I've told those in Galatia. This is what I told the church at Centria. On and on and on it goes, because the Spirit was the source. It really is simple if we will go back to that New Testament pattern.
And I think one of the issues with this is sometimes we feel like we've got to improve upon what God has done. We don't realize what God has given us is perfect, flawless. I think we look at what the New Testament did, those early, early years, like Henry Ford's car. It was just basically a car. It was a real plane. There was no seat belts. There was no cruise control. There was no radio. And so we come along and we want to add all this stuff to make it better. That we're going to make the church better today because we're going to add all these things to it. And it's kind of like those old Superman commercials or how the show used to start. They say, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. People can say, it's a school. It's a cafeteria. It's a college. What is it? It's a church. And people have added all this stuff to it. You don't read about the New Testament. And what's behind all that is the assumption that we can improve upon what God has given us. We can never improve what God has given us. What God gave us was perfect from the very first. And so that's a false assumption that always gets us going down the wrong place. And so when we say not being a part of a denomination means what? It means we're simply Christians. We're simply Christians following Jesus Christ. We're a community of believers in this one area who worship together. We become a church family, and we pull our efforts together and our work together, and we're trying to honor God the way the Bible says. Now, along comes somebody, and they say, well, that's interesting, but, at my church says this.
Yeah.
And what would you say to that?
Yeah. What immediately comes to my mind is Jesus faced this exact same question. There were times where early in the Gospels, there were people who were looking around and saying, okay, well, John the Baptist over here has disciples, and this is what they're doing, and the Pharisees over here have disciples, and why aren't you doing what these people do? And Jesus, if you go back and you read Mark chapter 2, one instance of that going on, or in parallel gospel accounts, what Jesus slowly begins to do is to show, okay, you have had a variety of teachers, but I say to you. And I think that is what every single disciple of Jesus in every era, in every place ought to do. My responsibility is not to get into an argument of, well, your church versus my church. That I don't mean to be disrespectful, but that reminds me of two little children on a school playground arguing over whose dad can beat up the other dad. That's not my responsibility. We've already emphasized this is not my church. And so there have always been misconceptions. There have always been questions. The more distinctive we are, the more questions are going to arise. Just like in the days of Jesus. Why don't your disciples do this when we see all of these others over here doing it? But Jesus slowly opened the eyes of the people and unashamedly, in his most famous sermon, said, "You've heard, but I say to you," over and over and over again. And at the very end of that sermon, what stood out to his hearers was, here was one who spoke with authority. What I would suggest is, when someone comes along like that, let's open the Bible in search for authority.
The church isn't what's right, it's what God says that's right. And we're not car shopping. I mean, you go out to look for a car and you don't really care which kind of car, what options does this one have, what options does this one have. And that's why people can do that. They go from one church to another church just seeing what options they have, misunderstanding the whole concept. Jesus did not build a cafeteria where he said, pick out what you'd like to have. And I'll have this, but I don't want this. That's not what we see. He is the ultimate authority. We are honored and we're blessed that he even includes us. He even gives us a second chance. And so the church, to read about in the Bible, is a body of saved people. That's what we need to be a part of today.
There is no doubt in my mind that there are those listening right now, maybe that have questions. And we want you to know this podcast episode is not the last definitive word. The sermon from Sunday is not the all-inclusive definitive word. Hopefully, it is a step in a direction that gets us all to continue to think and search the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things are so. I want you to know that if you're listening right here, right now, and you've got questions, we would love to talk more with you about it. But we hope this little discussion has taken it a step further. I appreciate very much the encouragement. Roger, it is Wednesday, and we're looking forward to tonight. You're teaching in the auditorium. What do you have in line?
We're doing a series called The Battle for the Mind, and our lesson for tonight is going to be Steps to Protect Our Mind. We're going to be talking about guarding our minds, guarding our hearts, powerful passages that kind of shape the kind of thinking we ought to have, which will affect our behavior. And so that's our thoughts for tonight.
We've got two adult classes, the one, The Battle for the Mind, in the auditorium, and then in room B2 for our adults. We are continuing our Building Blocks course of studies. If you've got children first grade all the way through high school, you can study the same thing. We're in separate rooms, but you can study the same thing together as a family. This month, we're asking, what is the church? This past Sunday, we asked questions about worship. If you missed that, you can watch that video and have an interactive handout to go along with it. But tonight we're taking a practical step, and we're just going to go back and we're going to look at some Old and New Testament examples and ask, okay, does it really matter how we worship? Another one of these really big, important questions for our day and age. We've got classes in person for all ages. We would love to have you here at the building, 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. Roger, you've got the privilege of preaching this Sunday morning.
And we're going to wrap up our little April series we've been doing on the church. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul would talk about how the church would have no spot or wrinkles. And we're going to talk about the wrinkled church and hopefully talk about some things there that will be very practical and very useful for us today.
All of these lessons throughout the month of April and, of course, before are freely available at charlestownroad.org. If they've been helpful to you, we would love it if you would share. If this podcast episode has been useful and helpful, encouraging to you, would you do us the favor of passing it along? We appreciate all of those expressions of encouragement. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. Lord willing, we'll be back with a new Heaven-Bound podcast episode this Friday. But we're looking forward to all of these opportunities, looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.